If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher Radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Genesis 4, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived, and she had Cain. And she says, I have gotten me a man-child from the Lord. But something happens. The devil, again, is not a creator. He's not an originator. He is a manipulative duplicator who looks for open doors. So he sees an open door here. He sees something happening because it says God did not have any respect to the offering of Cain. So you sit back as a pastor and you see somebody else's church growing and thriving and your church is going backwards and you're losing. You can't get angry with the person who's growing. You've got to say, God, why is this happening? Maybe you're not giving God the right sacrifice. And so he says in verse 5, Cain was very angry, and I love this, his countenance fell. That's an Elizabethan way of saying his face turned red. He pouted, and his blood pressure went up, and it changed the complexion of his face. His countenance fell. He pouted, and he got angry. Notice this. And then the Lord, he was so angry. His attitude was so rotten that God came, and he said, why are you angry, and why is your face broken up? Why are you pouting? Why has this thing affected you? He said, if you do what you're supposed to do, shall you not be accepted? And if you don't, listen to what he says, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, then sin lies at the door. Now listen carefully. He says, and unto thee shall be his desire. This is the first time God affixes a personal pronoun to sin. Sin lies at your door, and unto you shall be his desire. Who's his? Satan. In other words, if you continue to be angry with your brother, that's a doorway for the devil to ruin your life. Now, right now, at this moment, look in your heart and see if there's any family member that you're angry with. I don't care what they've done. Satan will use that as a doorway to ruin your life. That may keep you from having the healing that you desire and the blessing that you're praying for because you are angry with a brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle, and so forth and so on. Whoever you share genetics with first, whoever you share genetics with, you ought to release the anger. And then in the family of God, if there's someone in your church with whom you are angry, get it right. Why? Sin is laying at your door and Satan is waiting to come into your life. And when he comes, he's going to bring sickness. He's going to bring disease. And you can't be prayed for. You can't be delivered until you forgive and until you let that person go, no matter what they've done. Why? Because it cannot exist in families. Why is it? Why can't it exist in family? All right, because you curse future generations. Once the doorway is open for you, once the devil can come into you, once he can come in and ruin you, then the doorway is open for him to touch anything that comes out of you. When you look in the Bible, you will find that there are behaviors that are carried on. And God himself says, I will visit the iniquities of the children upon the fathers upon the children, even to the third and the fourth generation. A generation, we haven't locked it down, but it's estimated that a generation is between 18 and 24 years. Let's go with 20 years just to be safe. And he said to the third and the fourth generation, multiply 4 times 20. What do you get? God says through 80 different seeds, all because you can't get along with your family, because you're walking around with anger. In Proverbs, Solomon said, 6 things does the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination. The first thing is a look of arrogance. What is arrogance? Arrogance is self-sufficiency. I don't need you to pray for me. Somebody comes up to me and say they got a word from the Lord and they got to pray for me. Go ahead. Especially if they're brothers or sisters, Because I know there are times God can't get through to me directly. I may be frustrated. I may be hurt. I may be angry about something. So he'll speak to a brother or sister. A proud look. Second thing, a lying tongue. We don't even need to talk about that. The Bible is clear about that. Do you know that lying is the only thing God said he won't tarry in my sight? Everybody else will come before God and get the opportunity to hear judgment. But liars, he said, just keep going. You won't even tarry in my sight. Why? Because even though the liar is at the judgment seat, even though the liar is at the great white throne, they're going to lie to get out of it. God's going to show what sins you committed, even your thoughts. And the liar's going to say, that ain't me. That's Pastor Aaron. I tell Christians all the time, whenever the Holy Spirit puts his finger on any deficiency, plead guilty and throw yourself on the mercy of the court. God, I'm sorry, that's me. Please forgive me and help me. He says a proud look, a look of arrogance, a lying tongue. He said feet that are swift to mischief. If your feet carry you to do things that are illegal and unjust, that's an abomination. And then he goes on and says, they that spread discord among the brethren, talebearers. Pastors can sow discord because they get up in the pulpit and they preach at one person but then beat everybody else up. That's sowing discord, and it's an abomination before the Lord. That should not happen in family. Now, I know we get together and we always talk about the black sheep. Okay, yeah, but it's done out of love. Yeah, I remember Eric, and he ain't no good. And you know, Eric did this and he did that. Yeah, okay, I know. But they, you know, they do it in love. They're not trying to ostracize me. While they're doing that, saying that, they feeding me. So I don't care what you say, as long as you feed, praise God, just keep it coming. Keep it. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's right. I was terrible when I was six. Wasn't I? I'll have some more. But he's saying don't use it to turn someone else's heart against another person. Why? We're family. Watch this. Listen to this. God warns Cain in verse 7. All he has to do is go to his brother and say, please give me one of those sheep so I can do what our daddy Adam taught us. But no, look at verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. I don't know what he talked about. Maybe he was starting off trying to reconcile. I don't know. Maybe the words of God frightened him enough to make him want to go to his brother and say, let's get together and work this out. But whatever happened, it says, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against his brother and killed him. It all started with verse 5. He was angry with his brother. Had an opportunity to resolve it in verse 8, did not resolve it, and killed him. You say, well, Pastor, I ain't going that far. I'm not going to kill somebody that I'm not in agreement with. Really? Maybe not physically. Maybe verbally you kill your brother and your sister. Maybe you walk out and talk about them like the proverbial dog. But after he does that deed, the Lord once again confronts him. And he said, where is your brother? And Cain lied. Pride, lie, discord. All three of the things that God says is an abomination are demonstrated here. Discord comes because Abel's doing right and Cain doesn't like it. Pride comes because he won't go to his brother and say, I'm sorry, I'm mad at you. Help me get better. And then he lies to God. Where's your brother? I don't know where he is. Am I responsible for him? Let me ask you, are you responsible for your brother? Yes, you are. Not for the minute actions, no. Not for personal responsibilities, no. But in this context, you're responsible to get things right. You're responsible to go to your brother and say, you've offended me. And I want to make sure you understand the depth of what you've done. Maybe they don't know how much they've hurt you. Maybe they don't know that you're sensitive. That's why Jesus said, go to them. The Bible is filled with commands to fix things. But know this, anyone that you kill, assassinate character or physically kill them. In verse 10, God says, the voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. In other words, no one gets away with hurting anybody. I struggle with this. And, you know, confession is good for the soul. But I struggle with this because there's a lot of wrong that's sent my way. And there's a lot of backbiting and things that are sent my way. And I want to respond, but I don't because I want to stay on the high ground. And there's a part of me that's the Jesus part of me that says, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. But then there's the Genesis part of me that says, God, my blood is crying out to you. You gonna kill them for me? Now, he discards that because at least I'm honest. A lot of you feel that way, but you won't be honest with God. I'm honest with God because he knows my heart. I'm honest with him. But quickly, the Holy Spirit will bring you right back and say, now, look, you can't respond in that fashion. Sometimes it's best to remove yourself so that you don't continually be hurt. And the Bible supports that. But we should try everything we can to get along with our brothers and our sisters that are among us. I leave you with this thought coming from the letter written to the churches of Galatia. Paul realizes this church is slipping back into a fleshly demonstration. Having started in the spirit, they're finding themselves incapable of continuing in that spiritual vein. They are ill-equipped for spiritual life. Paul teaches them about the contrast between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit in chapter 5. He leaves them to ponder that reality. And then he comes shouting at them in the 6th chapter. After talking about love and talking about the conflict of the flesh, he says, if somebody is overtaken in a fault, and we have to examine that noun, fault. It doesn't mean rebellious sin. It's a genetic issue that they can't overcome, that they're struggling with. Not somebody who just says, I ain't doing what you tell me. That's just out and out rebellion. I'm just going to treat people the way I want to treat them. That's just nastiness. But if somebody is genuinely trying to live for God and they have addictive disorders and they slip into, you know, satisfying that addiction, Paul says, restore them. And that verb to restore means to really to isolate, cover, cure, and put back. Now, we'll do the isolate, we'll do the cure, and we'll help them recover, but seldom do we put back. With your brothers and sisters, if they've offended you, forgive. Sit with them, isolate, discuss the transgression. Now, I ain't talking about something that's 30 years old, my God. But I'm talking about new stuff. But if you are carrying that, deal with it. Say, I want to forgive you. In fact, you just keep it because not being able to pay me back is causing you to avoid me, and I don't want you to avoid me anymore. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me, we're all a part of God's body. Now, if we understand that it's his will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
11315A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.